Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Bobby Moore and Sir Jeff Hurst, the Trevor Brooking and Billy Bones, a Paolo DiCanio, West Ham United. We celebrate our victories, we stick together in defeat. I'm proud of our history, West Ham United, more than just a podcast. More than just a podcast.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. This is more than just a podcast. It's season 13. It is episode 42. And there's only the twos of us at the moment. No, John.
We're fluid.
No, John. He is working late. So it's Canning Town, then. Where are you? What are you doing?
I'm at the studio painting and talking to you at the same time.
And I'm here. Now, Shipman might be joining us, but not from his shed.
Who coughed then?
Look at that. Well, Nigel, he's joined us just on cue. As I said, he might be joining us. He's joined us. Nigel, where are you? What are you doing?
I'm in my van.
Shipman Man. Shipman Man.
It's not quite. I need to know what van Nigel has.
Yeah, go on. What is it?
Volkswagen Caddy.
Oh, nice.
What colour?
Wheel base with a crew cab.
What colour?
Grey. Anthracite grey.
Oh, nice.
You sound like you're in some kind of grey vehicle.
2010 plate, fuck you, Liz. That's what I say. There you go.
Oh,
that's
really?
All right,
isn't it? No, I have to pay. Fuck them.
Anyway.
What, 2010?
Yeah,
2010. Was it a diesel or something? I don't understand.
Yeah, diesel.
Oh, that's so, fuck you over, isn't it? Yeah. Did you claim? Did you claim?
I put a claim in, but my van weren't covered.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's depressed you, isn't it, before you even started.
Anywho, we're here to talk about football, and it's a no-loss week. A no-loss week. A win and a draw. I don't know, it felt a little bit like a loss, but
yeah.
It was a draw. Let's start with you, Lenny boy. I know you've been ill. I'm glad to hear you're on the mend.
So am I.
You missed a great European night.
Well, I always miss them, but I didn't because I kind of saw it, and I'm glad, you know, it was enjoyable to watch. It's fucking great to watch, to be honest. And that's all I ask for, stuff like that. As vicious fucking Moyes at us, that's all we want.
Oh, you don't we want to give any credit to Moyes on that?
Nah, fuck him. Well, how many goals
you
did he score?
You got a good painting out of it as well.
Yeah, so I did, yeah. I'll tell you what, I'm fucking shallow as a worm's grave, me. What I'm happy about is I had a fucking earner. People can see right fucking through me. No, but I will...
Your knack for picking that thing, like Kudus on the seat. It's a fantastic image.
Thank you.
There and you just bang, done.
Yeah,
I don't fuck about.
Fantastic.
But
just in case you want to remember, Pacatar after 9 minutes, we hit the ground running. Pacatar after 9 minutes, Bowen after 32.
Hang on, well, before the first goal, Moyes picked the best team. That's the most important thing.
Did you just say that?
Yeah. That's the team we all wanted.
Give credit to David Moyes.
Well, it's about fucking time. He didn't have to do much for it, did he?
Yeah. No, you're right. He did pick a strong team. You know, after being 1-0 down away, Fabianski, Soufal, Mavropanos, Zuma, Cresswell, Suchek, Alvarez, Bowen, Pakatar, Kudos, and starting Antonio. Strongest team on paper, leaving Phillips on the bench and Ward-Prowse on the bench, and of course Danny Ings.
Right, that's correct.
All of which came on. Ward-Prowse came on at 62. Ben Johnson came on 79. Ings came on at 86, as did Phillips and Earthy. Job was done by then, of course. So, yep. What went right? Was it just
the setup
playing
went
a
right
team, or did we really dominate this game?
Yeah, we did really dominate. We put out a better team. That's the first thing you got to do. That's what we've been crying out for, and it happened.
But didn't we have a good team against them in Germany?
Well, a bit of a cowardly team. Tonight's theme might be cowardly.
Cowardly. It's, what are your
that,
favourite
it's that
words,
extra it? Defender that's not necessary. You know, that they were left off these, you know, that extra so-called defender, and we let the sort of, we played with a bit of joie de vivre and a bit of verve.
Yeah.
And we saw the result. 5 goals full with a fucking belter. You know, a few good goals. Lots of goals. Lots of good goals. Great.
Suchek and Bowen with assists, as you said, and I was saying earlier. Pakatar after 9 minutes. Bowen after 32. Cresswell with a rare goal after 52. And Kudos, obviously, finishing it up, making you a painting on 77 and 85. And probably scoring the goal of the tournament. Or the season. Or the decade. Oh, that's not going to go too far.
Maybe. I'd argue it's not the best goal in that stadium, though.
Oh, really?
No, I wouldn't say so. I thought Pyre's version of it was good.
Yeah, Pyre's one was better.
Okay.
Yeah. It's in the top three, though.
Yeah.
Pyre, Andy Carroll, and now Kudos.
It was. You won't remember this, Sean, because you're Johnny Come Lately. But it was remnants of. It was like Devonshire at Wrexham.
Yes.
That goal. Didn't really take someone, but he carried a lot of ground. But didn't really take him on.
Danny Williamson away at Bolton.
Yeah, that's an old one. Might have to revisit that.
Yeah, he picked it up. I think he played a 1-2 with Cotty on the edge of the area, and he just ran and ran, Danny.
As your stat
behind the Sainsbury's.
As your stat man, Sean.
Oh, I could give you a stat on how.
No,
much
I'm asking you as your go stat on man. Who gave Kudos the ball to get an assist? You know, as stupid stats go, who gave him the ball?
Well, it would probably be Fabianski, wasn't it?
Don't think so. I think it might have been a defender.
Oh, was it? I mean, I know it obviously came from the back, but I would imagine Areola, but I haven't looked at where it started.
No, no one cares, really, do they?
I don't think it counts as an assist either.
No,
if
I don't think so.
Let me give you the proper stats. West Ham only had 39% possession, meaning Freiburg had 61%. Having the ball is overrated. West Ham had 11 shots, 7 on target, to Freiburg's 10 shots, 3 on target. We had 6 corners to their 1. West Ham fouled 14 times to their 6. Dirty West Ham. Dirty West Ham. There you go. Having the ball's not all what's it cracked up to be.
That is our lowest percentage for possession in Europe.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, this season. All our, apart from the Freiburg away, I think we had 40%. But in the 6 group games, every game we were over 50% position.
We're not. None of us go on about possession, though, do we, really?
No. Take it out what you will, you know.
Yeah. Nigel, I saw you there. You were one of the 51,014 that turned up.
Well.
Oh, look, literally. On my screen, there's a picture of me and Sam Allardyce signing a book for me that's just come on my screensaver on the TV. After
when
century.
Was this?
I don't know. I met him. I was in the city of London. He was doing a book signing, and I wandered down and took a picture of.
What's the book about?
Sam Allardyce.
About Sam Allardyce. And he wrote it. He said, "To my number one fan, Sean." From Sam. From Big
Sam. Well,
he
weren't wrong, to be fair.
No. Well, I don't know. I was.
You asked him to put that in.
Yeah, of course I asked him to put that.
He was all over him. I remember we went to a night with Sam. Not the night with Sam Allardyce, because security kept us away from him. But at Upton Park, you queued up for his... And I sat on my own in the fucking seats waiting for the Q&A to start because I wouldn't have my photo done with him.
I don't think I had a photo done with him that time, did I?
You did. You did.
Anyway, I helped lead his downfall in the end, if you remember.
You helped lead his downfall?
Yeah.
With a pole. Yeah, I did.
With a pole?
Yeah.
Well, it was a bit more than that.
Yeah, I know, but we don't know how sausages are made.
Well, it was a bit more. It was a bit more organised.
Yeah, it was a bit more organised. Sometimes you don't ask. Don't ask.
Maybe
anyway,
you can do
I'm
it again
not, I'm
in a couple
proud
of months.
Of the part
Sean.
I played, but
yeah. Anyway, 51,014. I thought that was a really good turnout for a Thursday night at 5:45 in the rain. And I tell you what, I got a bit wet because it was that fine rain that was blowing in. Got us a little bit wet in the West End. And I don't know about you, Nigel, but I thought it looked a bit fuller than it did because they have such big segregation zones outside the away fans, and because of the way they cordon off some of the seats, it actually it condensed the people. Didn't you think, Nigel?
No, there weren't 51,000 there.
There was 51,000.
It was less than that.
All right, 50,000. Most people who
bought tickets, Sean.
Well, most people who bought tickets, I think, went. Come on, no. It looked a bit. It looked more than you thought there
was. There was 3 seats empty in a row in front of me, Sean.
Yeah, but we know the reason for that.
So they didn't turn up.
Well, maybe they sat elsewhere, Nigel.
Oh, did they? Is that right? I don't know. Look, we're arguing about semantics here. Let's say
it was well attended. All right, let's just say it was well attended.
It was better attended than I thought it would be for a quarter to six kickoff.
Yeah.
It must have been. I bet there was some people that the quarter to six and played into their hands.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
There was a few people with kids going, well, actually, this is far better for me.
Well, better for me. I started my painting earlier.
I just got there on time.
I tell you the weird thing.
I had to eat my pie and mash in my seat.
I was home by 9:30, and it was so weird. It was like we finished. I was on the train at 8:30, and I was thinking, this just doesn't. It didn't seem right getting home at 9:30 from an evening game.
Yeah. Right. I stayed behind to have a chat, and I was still home by 9:30. I stayed behind for an hour after.
Oh, really?
Maybe it's the future.
Maybe it's a future,
the 5:45 kickoff. Leonard Parkin.
Are you going to come? So, here, Len. Are you going to come to the quarterfinal?
No.
Well,
I'll keep tradition,
though. Here, breaking news. Both John and George are coming to the quarterfinal.
Are they?
Yeah.
I can't, you know.
I don't know. Didn't hold up right. Didn't John and George both go to the semi final?
Yeah, they did, yeah.
Against Frankfurt.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Yeah, they did.
No, don't let them come, Sean. Yeah, fucking.
They've asked me to get tickets down in my end.
They're cut. Aren't they?
We lost you there because I know you're travelling on the A. Are you travelling on the A303?
They're going to turn up for the one European game we get beaten.
No.
Can't stop them.
I'm on the A3.
Oh, you're on the A3.
Hello?
You sound like you've got a way to come.
Yeah. When you go, what are you going to do? Go into the city on the A3, all the way to the city and then through to...
You have to pay the Ulez, wouldn't you, if he does that?
M25.
Oh, you've got to be careful around Wisley. It was shut over the weekend. It was... When I came past that earlier, I came back from Portsmouth. That whole Junction 10 was a nightmare. That Wisley turn-off
is a nightmare. Yeah, I'm a bit worried about that, I must admit.
But by the time you get there, it'd be fine.
It says I'll be home in an hour and 25 minutes.
Okay.
So, oh, well, might be in the shed for question time then.
Yeah.
Never know.
Anywho, let's talk about football. Nigel, what have you got to add about that glorious night, Thursday night? Someone asked, was it the biggest win at home?
I think it was just...
I told you this, Sean.
I know it's not. I'm just asking Nigel. Play along. It's...
Oh, all right. You're trying to catch Nigel out, aren't you? Because he's fucking driving.
Was it the biggest win at
Say
a
that
London...
again?
Was it the biggest home win at a London stadium?
Think about it, Nigel. Think about your answer.
No, I don't think it was. No. No, we had... we beat Macclesfield...
He got it.
Yeah, he got
8-1,
it.
8-1, didn't we?
8-0, I think it was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Did they get one?
Was it 8-0? Yeah, it was...
I think it was 8-0.
No,
yeah.
1 or 8-0. But, yeah, it was the Macclesfield game.
Yeah, well, exactly. You're right. Len said that exactly. So I was trying to catch you out. And it was 8-0, by the way, on the 26th of September 2018, the EFL Cup with Antonio Snodgrass with two, Perez, Fredericks, Ombonna, and Diagana with two as well.
I remember Diagana, yeah.
But you're right, 8-0. So.
It's a breakthrough game.
Yeah. Nigel. Tell us, what did you think about the game? Did anyone stand out for you, or just
entertaining game? I get what people say about the lineup. You know, it was good to see that he went more attacking in the way with the personnel we put on the pitch. And who would have thought, you know, you play more forward-thinking players, you score more goals.
Yeah.
You know, who would have thought it?
Everyone but Moyes is the answer, isn't it?
You know,
it seems.
It does seem funny that, not jumping forward, but...
Well, we lost him there.
It does seem
He's all ping pong.
Yeah, I know. What could go wrong at all when he's travelling along at 170 miles an hour on
still
the
AV? Going.
Does it? It works.
You came across all Dalek there, Nigel.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
I in and out?
We heard you say Moyes out. We heard that bit.
You're probably going through a bit of a bad area. But, I guess there's not a lot to speak.
They don't have a phone.
We won 5-0. There's probably not a lot to say.
Sorry, did I?
No, we don't. We don't. I'm going to ask, while I'm waiting for you to get your signal back, I'm going to ask Len a question. Bayer Leverkusen only just managed to squeeze through.
They did.
Against... something beginning with Q, I don't even know. Q.
Carabag.
And just one in extra time. Unbeaten in Bundesliga. Have we got a chance, Len?
We've always got a chance. I think ideally with the two biggest teams are Leverkusen and Liverpool. Really, you want them over 90 minutes, didn't you?
Yeah, we didn't want Liverpool, though, did we? And I didn't want AC Milan.
Didn't want Roma either.
Well, from a way game and not having our fans.
I mean, Benfica would have been nice. I think it would have been nice to go out to Portugal for a couple of days.
Well, Andy Sheldon, when I bumped into him after the game, he said, "Let's just not get any Italian teams," because he knows that Lazio would join in with the West Ham side, and it would be mayhem, home and away.
You think that would happen?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
If
we'd have got Roma, Lazio would have been out with the West Ham.
Oh, right. I see what you mean.
Yeah, probably with AC Milan and...
I don't know about that, because Italians, you know, they might not travel up to Milan from Rome. It's a bit of a journey, isn't it?
Okay.
I'd say that they probably would do. don't know, yeah. So who do we get if the semi-finals in? If, I don't think we do, but...
Well, we miss Liverpool. If we get through, you're right, we can get Roma or AC Milan, yeah. So if we get through, we definitely do get an Italian side.
Italian team, yeah.
In the semi-final.
Yeah, well.
Big if, though.
Yeah, big if.
Well, yeah. Are you going to Germany? Because I tell you what, I got a bit lucky here. Me being my normal thing for Europe, I'm away in Tenerife in early April. So for the first leg, I'm in Tenerife. So I'm sure I'll go and sit in Tenerife. But lucky enough, it's the away leg, which means I will be back just in time for the... Are you going to Germany?
Well, where I'll go and what I'll do is up to me, isn't it?
Right. Len, are you going to Germany?
No. I won't get tickets, will I?
Well, you could if you asked. You know, I'm sure we know somebody who knows somebody. Well, do you want a ticket? I'll get you a ticket.
I'll get lucky
in the ballot for you.
I want one of Robber Real Fair.
I don't think they have a ballot, Sean.
Yeah, I know. I was joking.
I'm happy watching them on the box in Europe.
I'm happy. I'm going to be watching...
Well, we'll see. I've got 16 points. I think Freiburg
16 away points.
Made that. Yeah, well, I had 31 last year. And
How many we got going over there? What's our allocation? That's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah, I don't know. It'd be 3,000, I'd imagine.
How big is it?
Their stadium holds about 50,000,
doesn't
it?
Does it? What's it, 10%?
I don't think it works like that. I think it's the away enclosure.
I thought it was 5%. You think Bayer Leverkusen would have a bigger stadium than 50,000?
Well, that's enough, isn't it? Fucking hell, Sean. You wonder why they're all fucking lively in there. They don't have all the...
Oh, well, actually, you're wrong there. The, it's only 30,000. 30,210. Bay Arena, which is where they...
I've been past it. It looked bigger than that.
Yeah, Bay Arena, a capacity of 30,210. So,
blimey.
I think...
From what I remember, it was by a motorway.
What town is it close to?
Well, it's near Cologne.
Ah, right, okay, I thought it was.
So, I think that's where people would fly into if they were flying, Bonn, Cologne.
So, if it is 5%, it will be 1,500.
Right. That'd be low, wouldn't it?
Then they can't see that getting 16 points. I don't want to piss on your chips.
How many did Freiburg?
I'm just having a look. Yeah, 5%. So, Article 38, ticketing in the Europa League, says that... home clubs must make at least 5% of the total ticket capacity available. At least. That's the minimum. You want to know West Ham Freiburg, what the allocation was, do you?
Yeah.
Hang on. Away allocation. 2,230 tickets we got for that.
So they got the away end. So you might find it might be roughly the same. Is that all it holds? 30,000?
Yeah, 30,210. Freiburg.
Bigger than that.
Well, Freiburg was a bigger stadium. 34,700.
Did Leverkusen not get the memo that you can't win anything with little stadiums?
Yeah. Well, obviously not.
What are they thinking, Sean?
I know. Yeah. They're like 10 points ahead, aren't they?
They are, yeah.
Bayern Munich.
But Bayern Munich have got more points this season at this stage than they did last season when they won the league.
Yeah.
The problem with Bayern Munich actually ain't Bayern Munich, is it Leverkusen have yet to lose a game. They're in.
Yeah. Well, they played Freiburg at the weekend, and I think it end 4-3 or 3-2, one of the two. They lost by one goal. Do you know, Nigel? How about you, Len? Do you know Freiburg versus Bayer Leverkusen on Sunday?
Yeah.
I don't know the final score.
Should have knocked them out.
Yeah, it was 2-3. Freiburg scored on 10 and 79. Bayer Leverkusen scored on 2:40 and 53. Not too.
You're saying we stand a chance.
Yeah, I'm trying to make that out. Anyway, let's move away from Europe. We're in the quarterfinals for the third year running, thanks to
West Ham United.
David Moyes.
We're
2-0 up against them twice.
Yeah, I know.
So there's always a chance.
Yeah. Anyway, let's talk about the next game. Len, I know you didn't make it, unfortunately, because you weren't doing very well.
Didn't quite make it. And I had a train for once.
I was there. Nigel was there. So let's start.
What did you eat, Sean?
I didn't eat, actually. I had breakfast and I didn't eat. There you go. I'm fasting.
It looked like he'd already eaten, to be fair.
Oh, yeah. Cheeky. I was wearing a Food Bank's sweatshirt. And funny enough, here's a funny story, right? Leon above me took a picture.
Yeah.
Have I sent it to you?
No.
And in it is Barry. Barry's behind me again. And your mate Mark. All in the same picture.
What's that got to do with you?
Well, he's saying I looked a bit tubby.
I've got a photo of you that looks proper tubby, and you don't like that photo, do you?
No, I don't.
I ain't getting deleted.
Let's just put it like that. If he's losing pounds, it must be from the wallet.
Oh,
that's a bit harsh. Yeah, I'm going to send you a picture. Here, this is a picture I got sent. Yeah. I'm sending you on WhatsApp.
Well, I'm driving, I can't look at it.
No, you can't look at
it. Yeah, that's
see if
very
you can
handy,
spot Ethan. Other people in that photo.
Right, let's have a look. This makes very, very good radio.
It does make a great video.
Let's have a look.
Yeah. Me
describe
and Mark.
I'm driving, so I can't.
As my good friend and Labour supporter.
You know, I'll Mark recognise your son.
It's a bit hilarious. A Conservative supporter like you wearing a Food Bank's sweatshirt.
Right, that's not the. I don't know what you want me to say about that photo, really.
He says I look a bit tubby in it.
Well.
To be fair, Sean, you wearing a Food Bank thing, people probably think, blimey, he must be their best customer.
Yeah, there's a bit of a punch there, Sean, to be honest.
Yeah, all right, fair enough. Yeah. All right, still losing weight. Down about a stone and a half. Anyway, let's move on to the next game. It was.
Where did you lose it from? Your feet?
Oh, he pissed off. let's move on to the next game. It was West Ham versus who was it versus?
Aston Villa,
of course it was. Fourth in the league, Aston Villa.
Yep.
So I think what did you say last week, Nigel?
We'd get beat.
You thought we'd get beat?
Yeah, I thought after the Lord Mayor show I said we'd beat Freiburg 3-1, I think I said, after extra time. And then I thought Villa would do us after the Lord Mayor's show, I went.
Yeah, well. I don't know, it felt like obviously ended 1-1 with Mikel Antonio scoring on the 29th minute, 1-0 to the Cockney boys. It could be considered we had a few other shouts with Kudos, Antonio and Suchek all claiming, or was it Mavropanos, all claiming a goal, only to be denied by VAR. I think we've lost Nigel a little bit. Len, let's start with you. I assume you watched it. Was 1-1 and 1...
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Point, a fair result, or do you think we deserve more?
I think bravery would have paid dividends, is what I think. I thought you could see that Villa were a good team, no doubt about that.
Yeah.
But I thought we had the better of them. They were struggling with set pieces. They had complete holes in their setup. Kurifo had acres of room. And I think, again, Moyes picked his best team, and I think he should have kept that. If not the team, then the same outlook, that same setup, rather than doing the defensive substitutions. So I'm a bit disappointed we didn't get the win. I thought we could have. Look, we put the ball in that four fucking times, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
I mean, that sort of tells you something. And although we wasn't playing good, that's the type of attacking ability we got. Well,
again, just go to a stat attack. We only had 30.6% of the ball.
I don't care about that.
So Aston Villa had 69.4. We had 13 shots, 5 on target. They had 13 shots, 5 on target as well. We had 6 shots off target to their 4. We had 7 corners to their 11. So 13 fouls to their 12 as well, dirty West Ham. I don't know. It after leading and after the VAR, it felt like a loss. And I'm sure we'll come into this. But, you know, we were waiting the ground, Nigel and I. 5 minutes and 37 seconds it took to decide.
Bad.
Now, when I looked at it, I thought, well, why did it take them that long? You could see why they didn't give it, but why did it take 5 minutes? There was, I don't know if it came across. Booing. We knew nothing in the ground. We knew nothing.
I can throw a reason at why it took so long, because with all the VAR decisions, although logic would suggest that the decisions were ultimately right, you couldn't see any evidence of it on the VAR. Just a freak nature of it, the post being in the way.
Well, that's exactly what David Moyes says. The post was in the way. So it's supposed to be for clear and obvious errors.
It is, really.
And therefore, if the post was in the way, the original...
I'll just point out this clear and obvious error thing.
Yeah, go on.
that ain't when it comes to, like, goals. Clear and obvious errors was with, like, red cards given to wrong players or yellow cards that should have been red and offsides. That clear and obvious. When it came to like goals, it was not it weren't they could only interfere with clear and obvious. They're supposed to check every goal, whether it's clear, whether it's obvious. Check every goal.
But it's a problem, Nigel, and you've said it before. If they can't decide in a minute, let the on-field decision stand, no matter exactly what it is.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Sorry.
Isn't there a kind of precedent that, you know, you should somewhat try to stick to the on-field decision if there's no evidence to the contrary? Well, I mean, I've got to say, that Antonio one, although he somewhat admitted it that it is out in the post interview, it didn't look like it. It looked like his stomach. And the day before, I see Coventry City win with a goal like that, which I'm pleased about, because ultimately I wanted that goal to stand. Because there's twice in our game the ball was bundled into the net. There's got to be a certain amount of credit for getting the fucking ball in there. I know it hits people's hand, but they don't punch the ball in, do they? It's their inertia taking it, and it hits the arm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't feel robbed.
I must admit, we celebrated all four goals.
The Caduce one, for me, looked a bit clear cut. The other two, the Antonio goal was up the other end.
Yeah, but so you'd celebrated it, didn't you, Nigel?
Yeah, no, not the Caduce one, because I thought it was never going to be a given a goal.
Okay.
Do you think because of the foul, or the suggested foul on the goalie from Antonio?
Well, the Antonio one, I don't know, I've not seen it again. The only one that I've seen again is was it the Bowen one or Suchet? Because what it looks like is
well, it comes off Bowen's face, you're right. I mean, yeah, it's Suchet's.
The first thing I'd say is, fuck's sake, if they'd have hit the ball properly, yeah, the pair of them, yeah, had enough time to kick the ball into the goal for a start. Well, Bowen certainly did. You know, this has been missed. The geezer took a swipe at a ball a yard out, yeah, from the goal and missed it. Yeah, so he swipes at it first, misses it. It then hits Suchet, drops down onto Bowen's head and goes in. Now, I listen to Antonio's reasoning onto the BBC, and I think there was a lot of sense in what Antonio said, like the goal should have stood for them reasons.
Yeah. And this is why I'm sort of being...
Apparently, the reason... I think they should release all footage for audio for all VAR incidents, not just when they're pressurised. But my understanding is there was about five different incidents that laid on that, and they had to look and analyse each one at a time. So, offside? Then the handball... Then it hit Bowen's face. Was he impeded? And so what a ref was saying is, because there were five incidents in a short span of time, VAR would have to look at each one, roll it in or out, and then move on to the next one.
That would suggest that you're looking for reason to disallow the
goal.
It does, doesn't it?
It absolutely does, Lynn. Absolutely.
I'm not so sure. I mean, he didn't look like... When you watched it in real time, it looked like...
And then after 5 minutes, he calls the ref over... To bloody look at it on the screen.
Could have done that in the first. Go on. Is he there?
I don't know if you heard. If Suchet was a defender, yeah, would they given us a penalty?
No.
Fuck.
Probably not.
No, so why isn't it a goal then?
Well,
it's the same offence, yeah.
Well, yeah, I agree with you, but one reason, and which is why I don't get too upset about these VAR rules. I'm pretty sure that we don't know the rules anymore because they're ever changing.
Well, especially when
it comes to handball.
Yeah, it's just too confusing. It's a bit like rugby where they change their minds
Burnley
every 5 minutes.
Last week, the geezer heads the ball, catches it in his hand, and drops.
Yeah,
the ball.
I know.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
But, I know.
You know, but hold up. You know, Antonio jumps, misses it, hits his arm, goes in the goal. No goal.
Yeah.
Not deliberate handball.
No, it's not.
So, and this is where it makes a mockery. And in a way, it's not so much the VAR, as you say. It's the rulings done by the IFAB.
Yeah.
Who have caused this problem.
Let me ask you a question, both of you, right? This is a really serious question. Nigel, when you woke up on Sunday morning, would you have taken a draw?
Yes.
Len, when you woke up on Sunday morning, would you have taken
a
draw?
No.
Really?
Just not like that at all.
Well, you were convinced we were going to win.
No, I wasn't convinced we would win, but I'm not going to take a draw.
Really?
It's just not in my nature, no.
Against fourth place Villa?
Yeah. I have healthy disapproval, Sean, it's called.
I think you're being slightly disingenuous.
No, I'm not at all.
I would have taken a draw all day long.
It's fine for you, but you've got to remember that they played Thursday as well. You got to go at them at home. You can't go taking draws. You play the game to win it.
Well, of course, we haven't discussed the point, which is...
I think we did play the game to win it.
We did.
Here we go. So here I'm going to come down a little bit on Len's side. the substitution.
Awful.
Right? Mm. So he takes Antonio off. Now, I don't know if any of you saw this, but I saw Antonio holding his shoulder. We all, you know, in our section we did. And I thought he'd picked up a knock.
We also see him running after and looking okay.
So taking Antonio off, sort of got it. He's not a young man anymore. He probably can't run for 90 minutes. He played for 70 minutes on Thursday night.
Put the boy in the net twice, though.
When you put Ben Johnson on, a guy who won't sign a new contract and is probably going to Crystal Palace, yes, you heard it here first, that's a defensive move. And it's almost like David Moyes is sending a message out, oh, we're shutting up shop now. We're going to try and...
Cowardly is what you're saying. That's what he's cowardly,
well,
Sean.
Know. I knew you'd say that. See, I've been prepping you to say that again.
I know you. You don't have to prep me.
The only thing I'd say is it weren't the shut-up shop because he put him right wing. Or he put him left wing, I think, then put Caduce on the right and put Bowen up front. So
he didn't venture up the pitch. I don't think he touched the ball, did he?
Yeah, he did. He did okay with it. But it wasn't a defensive move because he didn't go into defence.
I mean, to be fair to him, I was watching Moyes and he was sort of telling them to push up, but I mean,
not as easy as that, is it?
It's not as easy as that.
I don't fucking shout the canvas. Look good. You got to fucking work at it. But Nigel, you know, ain't there saying fucking move, car. Go, you know, faster. The first in front of him.
Look, Len, it was a game of two halves, and you must admit, although
I enjoyed the first half.
The first half we dominated. The second half, you could see. You know, I'd be honest with you, and the reason I respected the point in the end is, I could see them coming back and winning.
But what
it
did Areola do, though? I know you're
made
saying
it wasn't safe.
It wasn't. I felt comfortable. I think you should show a little bit more faith. We got good players.
Oh,
you know?
Hang on. He punched a few out, Alain.
That's what he's there for.
Yeah, I know that. But
we were fine. Let him come at us. Fuck them.
Didn't they miss one literally right in front of goal? They got very close to us, and I thought, you know,
we had goals.
A bit lucky. I thought we were a bit lucky.
The goal was coming.
It was coming, absolutely.
But
when
we got our first goal, that was somewhat against the run of play, I thought, as well. I know we looked good, but you can't. They're a good team. They're behind. They made substitutions. They're going to come at you.
Yeah.
Stay in your fucking ground and keep at it. Because they were rattled. They didn't want us to sort of...
Yeah, and the thing about that is that the more they come at us, the more we should be able to get behind them if we're a counter-attacking team.
Yeah, exactly. Good people could put the ball in the net.
Yeah, the Antonio move. All right, he might be carrying the knock. Still baffling. Still put Danny Ings on. Fucking
yeah,
Ings
no,
on.
Listen, right. If what's sad about this is that we can all agree with that we thought that was a bad decision, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
What, and I think everyone sees that he does make them bad decisions, but what makes us polarise, what causes the differences of opinion is, one, why does he do it?
So he thinks he knows better.
But this is it. But when you're seeing his mistakes made and the geezer's contract is coming to like a natural end, what can you do to a man who thinks he knows better and we think he don't? This is what the Moyes out.
A new contract.
But this is it. If you're not happy with it, if he's a guy that can't be helped, he's going to make decisions that are wrong. Sometimes, what can you fucking do with people like that? He annoys me, the man. He lets himself down. Really does let himself down. For someone that... He obviously fucking knows what his best team is because he's put it out two days on the row, two matches on the row, and we've enjoyed it and we've got no problem with it. If he'd done that all the time, there'd be no Moyes out brigade.
I don't see the games this week making any difference of giving him a contract or not giving him a contract. I know a lot of people read into it, and I know Nick from Clout and Booze was defending himself, but I know Hughie at Clarence and Hugh wrote that, you know, an exclusive saying that no decision had been made. Well, you know, I you know, the board are going to make a decision at the end of the season, right?
Yeah.
You can't keep on saying after every match, giving a commentary, because the decision's going to be made at the end of the season. Full stop.
But that's what worries me, is the stubbornness. I wonder what you can do with a stubborn person, someone who's obstinate like that. The only thing is to sort of...
The thing is, it is difficult. No West Ham, and this is the thing, no West Ham manager has ever been let go. So I think, a couple have not had their... So John Lowe and Sam Allardyce have got in common. They were both let go by not renewing the contract.
That's right.
So they're the two that were let go for not renewing. Now, Lowe had been relegated, and Allardyce, I think, had took us... Bobbed about, the highest place he'd ever got us was 10th. You know, when you... Obviously, the way we play and is different. When you look at it, though, no West Ham manager's ever lost their job with us being...
And we're still seventh. Yeah, we're still seventh.
Yeah,
well, let's see the season out then.
And that's the thing. We've got to let the season play out. So there's a bit of an understanding.
Because we can't talk about Moyes' job every 10 minutes.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is...
We're 2 points above Brighton, right?
And
they've got a game in hand, right? We're 3 points above Wolves. 4 points above Newcastle, who obviously we play. We're 5 points above Chelsea and 6 points above Fulham.
With a right win,
we're only 3 points behind Manchester United.
Yeah, we've got a game in hand. With a right good wind, we could get 14 more points.
Yeah.
That's the max, though. I think we'd get 14 more with a good wind. I'd more book it a 12-11.
We're unbeaten in 4 games as well.
Yeah.
We're a fucking good team. I don't know why you say it with an element of surprise.
Well, because everybody was doom and gloom saying I don't know where the next win's coming from at one point. Well, I'm not saying you
said
that.
We've got a tough run of fixtures. Bring it on. That's what we're here for.
Yeah. I think we can.
I'm not anti-Moyes because I'm negative. I'm anti-Moyes because I'm fucking positive. That's why I want him to have just a bit of a less effect. Not less effect, actually, it's not the right word. But just go for it.
Because
we are thinking we're forgiving.
If you look at it, the next 2 games, Newcastle are having a bad run of form. They're stuttering. Spurs, you know, away from home, you know, struggling. Well, funny enough, they did Villa, didn't they? 4-0 away from home. But, look, you know, go to Fulham and get done like we did. We do okay at Tottenham. We win some, we lose some. You know, we could actually get 4 points out of the next 2 games.
Well, let me ask you one thing we didn't discuss.
Think we could get none.
One thing we didn't discuss over the 2 games we just discussed, and that is Alvarez and how important he is. So obviously you got a yellow card against Freiburg, and we miss him for the next game, the first leg against. One. We're talking about Europe. So we miss him in the first leg against Bayer Leverkusen. And then, of course, he got another yellow, which means he's got 10 yellows in the Premier League, and we lose him against both Spurs and then Newcastle. So we're going to move
That's
him.
That's a big loss.
Lose him
Newcastle
for 3 games. Newcastle, then Spurs, yeah. So three games he's going to be missing, and that's a big loss.
What do you think Moyes will do?
Well, at the moment, Ward-Prowse has not been getting in, so I think...
You think you'll play him above Phillips?
Well, yeah, I mean, Phillips, where does he fit in? I mean, I was watching Phillips warm up at half-time. He was looking pretty awful, even warm-up, you know? He was missing balls and everything.
Was it against Freiburg where he came on and kicked the ball out for a throw with his first touch, with a backward pass?
I think it was, yeah.
I think it was.
Anywho, anything else to discuss on the... A Villa game, Nigel or Lynn?
Yeah, there is actually.
Go on.
One little thing. Going back to the ridiculous handball, I actually think I saw my first ever, I witnessed my first ever time where a opposition player tried to take advantage of it by Emerson pointing, and I swear blind, he hit the ball at his hand. That's where Blindy did. Which shouldn't be too difficult to do for a footballer. Yes, if someone sticks their hand out.
I get the one, yes. So which, he's pointing to zip to be covered, and the attacker kicked the ball against
kicked the ball in his hand.
Yeah.
And you think yourself, well, did, play,
we,
yeah. It just shows what a bad rule that handball is, because that looked as good as much as handball was, as we've seen, getting given for and against us.
You've just reminded me that of two other refereeing decisions outside of VAR. Number one, Mavropanos literally volleys the ball as the ref blows the whistle and he gets a yellow card for kicking the ball away. A Villa player, I forget who it was, does the same thing, kicks the ball
yeah,
away.
Yeah, we all saw
already
that.
Already on a yellow.
We all saw
doesn't
that.
Give it.
He's trying, the ref's trying to be fair, and this is where VAR doesn't help.
That's not being fair,
though.
It's inconsistent. So, you know, Mavropanos didn't have really a choice. And then we get on to Kudos, double arm, double elbow in the back, and Kudos gets booked at it for reacting after. That's a red card all day long. All day long it's a red card.
Proper filth, that was.
It is. That is, if VAR looks at that, that is violent conduct. It's a red card all day long.
They choose what they want to look into and not. Every system's got a trap door. Said this, didn't I?
Yeah, Ben Campbell, right? Come on the podcast, talk about it, right? Remember? Come on the podcast. It's an open invitation.
One last thing.
Go
on. Because Len did point this out on Sunday. Isn't it nice to see white and sky blue shorts?
Oh, yeah. You did point that out, actually.
I did, didn't I? Beautiful.
Because I said exactly the same in the ground. Oh, I wish West Ham wore an away kit.
Yeah. Beautiful, wasn't it?
It was a thing of beauty. Yeah.
In fact, a couple with a slick passing, there were a couple of times when my brain started admiring Villa because of the kit. They just they looked seemed more like West Ham than it was when you're wearing all that claret and then silly coat over the clan socks.
Still, what
can you do? They think they want to make a new club, you see. They don't go with tradition.
Yeah.
This is West Ham 2.0. We wear all claret.
Anyway, anywho, let's talk about a little bit of news. There's one story that someone in the financial sort of mergers and acquisitions told me.
Yeah, and go on. Billy bullshit. Go on, crack on.
All right, so according to this source, right, it hasn't come from a senior source, hasn't come from the board. That,
don't think it comes from someone in mergers and acquisitions.
Well,
either, but go on, crack
that's
on.
What I was told, all right?
Oh, right, is that right?
That Karen Brady flew out to the Middle East, brief stop to try and find, she has been incentivized with a bonus to find a new investor. Rothschilds have been trying to sell 10% of the Gold family, haven't had any luck. There's probably reasons for that, but I'm not going to go into them. So I'm told they're looking for a new investor in the Middle East or elsewhere. In one scenario, they would give 25%. And what would happen is David Sullivan would reduce his 38.8% by 13.8% to 25%. Daniel Kredinsky would sell 2% of his 27%, also going down to 25%. Gold family would sell 9.2% of their 25.1%. And that would leave Kredinsky, Sullivan, a new investor, all equal on 25%, with the Gold family having 15.9%, Tripp Smith 8%, and Terry Brown and Daniel Harris the remaining 1.1%.
Now, how many percent does Sullivan have?
He would have 25% after that transaction.
It seems like a lot of chefs.
Agreed, but it might be the scenario where.
Fernandez a call?
Sorry?
He did. They did say that, didn't they?
No, right.
They did invite him.
Yeah.
Who?
Well, it's not his money, Tony Fernandez. It's Mittal's money.
Yeah.
So look, I don't know. I'm not saying this is absolutely true, but it's a very fanciful thing. The whole thing about she flew over to the Middle East. Interesting. When I asked someone at the club this, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Did she fly over to the Middle East? They quickly replied. I mean, they picked up the phone and said she was at the game last Sunday, and I'm talking about Brentford, and she's got a Premier League meeting later this week, not actually answering the question. And they really did quickly, and I thought, hang on a minute, They don't usually reply this quickly. Maybe there's something in it. Maybe there's not.
Yeah, a bit like when Sullivan overreacted about the old...
Careful what you say.
All right. As you were then, no, Sean.
I know that there's a potential that the investors have put up with David Sullivan owning the majority, 38.8%, and maybe Krudinski, 27%. So this compromise of having 25% each and being equal partners is a sort of deal, I got told, a bit like Sir Jim Ratcliffe, that if a new investor came in with 25% and invested money into the playing side, they might be given, and I'm just speculating here, football control of the club, while Sullivan and Krudinski would just keep a financial interest and not have football control of the club. That's what I've been told. It's one scenario.
I'm desperate to get away, Sean.
Sorry?
Do
that just to skip out?
I'm desperate to
get
away.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about.
I've got to get out of here, Sean.
But there are, there are tax rules changing. I'm not going to say it anymore.
That'll be
that.
Why. Sorry, yes.
There are some tax rules changing. So we'll see. Look, we'll see. And I see that Hammers News have gone a little bit further. On the back of what I've said, they've rekindled a story from the Times last November and linked that Sheikh guy that was going to buy Manchester United with us today, but I think that's a bit of speculation. Taking my story, adding it to a time story of last November and making 2 and 2 makes 5.
How dare they?
But there you go. Look, who knows? You know, a new investor would help share the load, might help us compete. And if the Middle East is the only place we can do it, good luck.
Don't see it makes any difference myself.
I think that's the only news. Look, we're not going to name them, but there's a few former Hammers that are not really well, so we want them to get well soon.
You're like the fucking angel of doom, you, aren't you?
I know I am, but you know.
Dear, oh dear.
I know. Get well soon, former Hammers. Well, we're not going to say their names until it comes out, but you know. No. I'm sure that will come out sooner or later. Anywho, is there anything else we want to discuss this week?
We're doing question time.
Well, that's going to be my next question to you boys.
I don't mind.
Nigel?
Have you asked a question?
Not yet, no.
All right, well, yeah.
How far away are you?
45 minutes.
Ooh.
It's great.
Chesington.
Are you?
Yeah, funny enough. Or Leverhead.
Oh, you could come round here and finish it off here.
No, you are.
You are so close.
So close.
So close.
What should we do then?
What do you want to do? Heads or tails?
Ask a fucking question if you're going to do question time.
I'll tell you what, let's wrap this one up. This is episode 42. I've been, and we'll come back for episode 43. I've been Sean. Nigel has been
driving.
Len has been
watching paint dry.
No predictions for this week because we're in an international break. Come on, you Irons.
Bobby Moore. More than just a podcast. Bobby Moore, more than just a podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.